Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. If you like the Entree Architect Profit Calculator and the Entree Architect Hourly Billing Rate Calculator, then listen up. You're going to love what I'm about to share. We have developed a new three-part video training series called Profit Tools, where I will walk you through each calculator explaining how and why it works. It's quick, simple to understand, and it will help you leverage your new powerful Entree Architect Profit Tools. You can gain instant access to this video series right now for free at entrearchitect.com/profit tools. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 264, and this week, we're talking about mothers in architecture. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, Gusto. Gusto is refreshingly easy payroll, benefits, and HR for the modern small business. ARCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and so much more at ARCAT.com. And FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work you love. Bianca Biebling, Tara Wood Dozark, and Elsa Contreras, welcome to the Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Brad.
It's great to have you here. This is going to be fun. We've been talking a little bit offline here, and so I'm sure this is going to be a great conversation. We met one another on Facebook, virtually, never met one another face to face. And actually, I just learned that many of you never saw each other face to face, which is a common occurrence in the world that we live in today. We spend a lot of time communicating and building relationships, real relationships online with people that we've actually never physically have seen their face. And we care about them and we love them and we want to support them. And it's amazing the world that we're living in. And I see that in the Entree Architect Facebook group. And I'm sure you see that in your Facebook group, which is why we're here, because we connected online. I learned that you launched a Mothers in Architecture, Design, and Construction Facebook group. I tried to join it. Actually, I'm not a mother, so I was rejected. We can get into that a little bit, which I love and I support 100%. But I wanted to invite you here today to the podcast because there's a lot of mothers in architecture, especially in small firms. Entree Architect is all about small firms and sole practitioners and supporting them and encourage them to build better businesses. And a very large segment of our community our mothers who are architects and who are, you know, trying to do both, trying to integrate that life between their firm and their family. And there's lots of good pieces to that. And there's lots of struggles for that. I actually, you know, I'm a dad who's married to my wife, who's my architecture partner and the mom of my kids. And so I understand that situation. And so I wanted to have that conversation here. I wanted to invite the three of you to the Entre Architect podcast and have that conversation about mothers in architecture and what we can do to make that a better place for mothers who are architects and designers and construction people. And so before we get into the discussion, let's go around the room here and just, I typically will introduce you, but I'd like you to introduce yourselves. Let's start with Bianca. Just tell us a little bit about, you know, what inspired you to become an architect, the story to where you are today. And then we'll go around the room and we'll do Tara, then Elsa.
Okay. Well, I don't have a very exciting story about why I got into architecture. I knew that I wanted to go to college and set myself up for a better future, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to study. I ended up trying out a few different things. And when I got to architecture, I really enjoyed it. You know, I liked the creative aspect of it and the technical aspect of it. And I felt like it merged, you know, some of the things that I really enjoy together. And, you know, and I stuck with it. And then I really enjoyed working in the field, and it just, you know, I guess it was just luck.
Yeah. And so what level are you now in terms of where are you in the profession?
I have about 4 or 5 years of experience, and I'm studying to take my exams now. I guess the AIA would say it as an emerging professional 3.
Yeah. Okay. And all those levels, I don't even know what those levels are, because yeah. That was a big created recently. I just wanted to see where you were in the profession, just for listeners who are listening.
Oh yeah.
And Tara, what about you? What's your story?
I've been working in architecture for 20 years. As an undergrad, I studied philosophy and art, and I always had this balance of thinking and making. So when I graduated, I thought about going for a PhD in philosophy. Tried that, and I really missed making. So I left that program and worked in fashion in Manhattan for a little bit. And I found out that I could go back to school and get my master's in architecture. So I moved to Florida to do that. But I wanted to work first to make sure I liked it day to day. I started working in a firm. I loved it. Within 3 months, I was pregnant. So I ended up, my plan was to work for a year and then go to graduate school. I ended up working for 4 years. And then I moved up here to St. Petersburg to go to University of South Florida and continued from there. So I was licensed. Took me a long time to get my license because of I was a single mom through all those years. But I got my license, and now I'm a sole practitioner, and I'm teaching at the University of South Florida as an adjunct professor.
That's great. That's awesome. Elsa, what about you?
So I got into architecture, well, in high school. I was in the Construction Design Academy, and it was just very interesting. I liked the idea of being able to create spaces, just spaces that, you know, protect, people can find refuge. So I graduated, I went to college. I took a different route. I studied interior design. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn the human connection to buildings, a direct connection. So I decided to take that route. And then I went to Cal State Fresno, because I'm from California. And then I went to Cal State Northridge, and I got my master's degree because I wanted to go further into the environmental psychology of interiors. And I always wanted to be an architect. So, you know, just went from there, and I'm currently testing right now. So I'm going through the exams.
So with the exam, because I don't know the new processes of getting mm-hmm. licensed as an architect, as an interior design education, what route are you going through to get the ARE?
So I'm taking the, in California, all you need is a high school diploma and 5 years experience.
Okay.
So it's just the experience route. We work We have to comply with the NCAR requirements plus California. And then we get the approval to sit for the ARE. We take the NCARB exams plus the California supplemental exam at the end.
Okay.
And great. Then we get our license.
Great. And you're in the process of that now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like literally like tomorrow or next week, right? Is another yeah. one.
This Saturday is Saturday. My next one. Yep.
So we have our fingers crossed. We're going to throw a lot of energy at you.
Yes.
Make sure you pass this one. All right. Well, that's great. I'm super excited to have you all here and to have this conversation, because I think this is one of those things that's not talked about enough. And I think that there are thousands of mothers out there who are architects, and some of them have taken a break and have walked away from the profession. Some are struggling to do both. Some are thriving as both. And so I'd love to have that conversation, and let's start with the Facebook group, because that's what has brought the three of you together and has brought the four of us together today, is that Facebook group. And so when was it started and why was it started? Who wants to take that?
It was started about a year and a half ago. That's about right. And, we all met on another architectural group, and we just kind of were talking about some of the struggles that we face and realized that there wasn't really a space for all of us to get together and just talk about it and offer support to each other and be mentors to one another. So we started the group, and, you know, and it's been a great experience. We've got, you know, I'm not sure exactly how many members, but we have I'd say about 1,500 members maybe, and all moms, you know, and sharing the same experiences.
And it's a private group, so it's closed.
Yeah.
Yep. So they can search for it and find it, but they can't get in unless you're accepted.
Yeah. The conversations can stay private, and people can open up and discuss, you know, anything that they want to talk about.
Yeah. And that's really important. I mean, that's what makes the Entre Architects group so powerful, is the fact that it's closed. Mm-hmm. And that we can have conversations in there with one another and be open and honest and talk about anything that we want to talk about. And so I think that, you know, that I would imagine that the same thing happens inside the Mothers in Architecture group, that having these conversations among mothers that you would not have anywhere else, maybe even not in person, mm-hmm. Because of the environment that Facebook gives you in that closed private group. Do you find that that's the situation that's happening there?
Yeah, women are so thankful to find the group, because you know, when you become a mom as an architect, sometimes you can feel really alone. You might not know any other mother architects in your community, and you can get onto Facebook and you can find all of these women that are going through the same things, women who are in different, you know, stages of parenting. Because the thing is, when the kids are little, they're, you know, they're really demanding of your energy and time, but it goes by so quickly, and then you're back in the profession again. And we lose women so much, because once you finally qualify for your exams, it's usually the same time in your life when you're, you know, ready to become a parent. And it's really hard to balance those two things. And it's sad to see so many women just leave because it doesn't seem worth it. The pay is not high enough to justify the amount of energy and work you're putting in to keeping with the profession. But it is rewarding to stick with it. I mean, architects are known to work longer in their lives than most professions. And, you know, historically, architects become more valuable as they age, because those years of experience just add up to bring more value. So, you know, our biggest goal here is to retain women as they go through this stage of life of parenting.
Are you finding in the group, is there like one or two very specific topics that come up all the time? Like, I'm running into this. How do I handle this? Is there anything specific that comes up, or is it just all across the board?
I would say exams come up often. You know, how do I balance, you know, studying for the exams when my kids are sick, and, you know,
so that time, the whole time management thing. So whichever level you're at, right?
Because both are such high priority. You know, how do you pick, you know, which one to put your energy into? You have to do both of them.
I've seen a lot of questions about nursing and mm-hmm. you know, how do you take your exams when you need to pump milk? The exam is 4+ hours long, and most women are pumping or breastfeeding every 2 or 3 hours. So how do you manage that? How do you manage pump breaks when you are at a job site all day, or, you know, just things like that, where you work in a small office that only has one bathroom and an open studio and everyone's there all the time? Yeah. Those are things that people don't want to ask on a regular open architecture forum, but they're comfortable asking in a closed mothers only forum.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. And so that idea of balance, and I think that's an inaccurate term, balance of, you know, between work and life. I like to use the word integrate because that's what we do. You know, with my wife is my partner, who's also, you know, we raise our kids together. We have a home office designed specifically. We started the firm specifically so we could do that, so we can support one another and raise our children together. And we've integrated our firm with our family. You know, there is no, I mean, we have general business hours. So the outside has very specific, consistent structure. But inside, you know, I work at specific hours. Anne Marie works at specific hours. But we're available when we need to be for our kids. So we integrated those things. And so do you find that there are specific tips or tactics or reasons on how to do that? You know, what, you know, if time management is one of those big things, how do I get it all done? How do I be an architect and be a mom? What are some of those issues that come up, and how do you handle them personally? Elsa, do you have any thoughts on that? How are you studying for your exam and being a mom at the same time? How are you doing that?
You know what? I don't think about it. I just do it. Like sometimes you just have to shut that off and just dive in, you know, and just do it. Just, okay, these are my priorities, this is what I have to do. I'm tired. Oh, well, you know, I mean, that's all we can do. Like, yeah.
Do you have support? Do you have somebody who can help, is helping you get through this process?
I do. My husband helps a lot, actually. So what I do on a typical night, we get home late, 7 o'clock after dinner, 9 o'clock comes around. I tell my husband, all right, I'm checking out for the rest of the night. So you're with the kids. So I'm in the room. He takes care of them, puts them to bed. And then I just keep going, you know, till I fall asleep on my book.
Yeah. How important is that support and that other person who's there to support you, that person's on that same page, that you're all moving in the same direction. You're all picking up what needs to be picked up to make that happen.
You know what? I couldn't have done it without him being on board. My husband, I had to talk to him. We had conversations and he's like, you know what? I'm in, you know, do what you need to do, get licensed. He will take on, you know, the load that I have, you know, that I don't do because I'm studying. So, you know, I just, if we have that support, that, you know, our partners, they are the ones that determine when we get licensed, you know, because I know it's really tough to do it all by ourselves.
Right. So. Tara, you mentioned before that you were a single mom. Are you still a single mom?
No, I've been married for about 7 years now.
And so do you have support that way how do you run your life and integrate those things?
I do, actually. My husband and I started a business that's a microbrewery. And so I had to prioritize that over getting my license because I knew the returns financially would be a lot better. So once we got that up and running, then I was able to focus on my exams. And, you know, he was very supportive about all of that. But it's funny how you talked about just jumping in and doing it. You know, I look back at what I did and I don't know how I did it, but I love getting on this Facebook group and seeing women who are in the position I was years ago and just kind of cheering them on, letting them know you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I started graduate school. My son was 3. His dad and I split up and I had no family 1500 miles away from anyone I knew. Yeah. I moved to a place I knew no one. And I just brought him with me and I found a university that was really supportive of diversity of every kind, including you know, parental diversity. And I was able to bring him with me to studio, and he would sleep under my desk when I pulled all-nighters. And there's a great number of babysitters in graduate school because they all need money. And so a lot of people helped me out by babysitting. And I just kept going, went through it. He watched me work really hard, and now he's in college and working hard himself.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the support needs to be there either way. I mean, if you want to do this, you need to figure out that support. But it also sounds like sometimes you're just focused. I just need to do this. I'm going to do this. And whatever needs to happen is going to happen. And then it just happens because you've forced it to happen.
You can find support everywhere. You don't have to have a husband. You don't have to have a partner. Yep. You don't have to have parents to help you. People around you that see what you're doing, they'll become excited for you, and they'll help you. So I found a support through other students, through faculty, just through people that I met in my community.
Do you think it's possible to sort of plan that support? That, okay, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to become an architect. I'm going to focus on this. And rather than just sort of steamrolling ahead and just sort of picking up the pieces that need to be picked up and get the support as it comes, to sort of look at it in ahead of time, sort of looking back at it, would you advise young mothers to sort of look at this and say, okay, I need support here, and how am I going to get that, and who's going to help me there before you get there? Does that make sense? And do you think that's possible and realistic?
Yes, and have lots of backup plans.
Yeah.
Plan A is not always going to pan out. You just need to always be looking for your options and maintaining relationships and...
Yeah, I find in the Entree Architect Facebook group that mentorship is really important, that there's a lot of young architects in that group that ask questions, and they get 60, 70, 80 responses in the group. And a lot of them are seasoned architects. Some of them aren't even practicing anymore, and they're just in there literally just to help the young architects thrive. And so you had mentioned that's happening in the mothers group as well, that there's young mothers that you can sort of encourage and support and root on. Does that happen a lot in the group?
Yeah, it happens a lot. You know, we have, like I mentioned, we have grandmas in the group that are there, that are past this phase of their life, but they're there just to kind of offer support. And, you know, they've been through it all, and they can help guide the younger generation through. It's really encouraging.
Yeah. The one of the other things I wanted to talk about is this idea of seasons of life. You know, that sometimes we need to put things on hold in order to get to where we want to go. That sometimes we can't have everything at the same time, but we can have everything if we sort of wait for it. But there's also a downside to that, that many times a mother will put their profession on hold, be the mother, and then, okay, you know, my kids are old enough, now I'm going to go back to the profession, and they don't find a very welcoming profession. And so this idea of seasons, I'd love to have this conversation about what your thoughts are on that. Is that realistic, that that you sort of focus on being a mom first and not worrying about being so much the architect, and then later coming into the profession? Is that realistic? Is that possible?
I think it is possible. You know, when I got laid off during the recession, and I had a big gap in my experience. And during that time, you know, my husband and I decided it would be a good time to raise a family because I wasn't working and I could, you know, really kind of be home and focus on that. And after the kids were born, I was lucky that I was able to decide to stay home and be with them until they started school. And the whole time I had in the back of my head, you know, what if no one will hire me? What if I can't find a job? And it's scary because I really enjoyed what I did before. But, you know, I got lucky. I ran into somebody that I used to, that used to be my TA at the university, and they were looking for a part-time employee, and they hired me. They gave me the chance. And so it worked out really well. Now I'm at the season of my life where I can, you know, I still get to do the kids stuff, and I can, you know, I can start back into my career. I kind of feel like a beginner again. But you know, they're patient with me and they're encouraging, and it's been great. It's been, you know, the best of both worlds for me. I appreciate the experiences that I've had.
And how much do you think the employer has to do with that? That when you come back, that you found somebody who's who understands where you are, understands where you want to go, and is supportive of that and creating a position and an environment for that. How important is that?
For them, you mean?
Yeah, for both of you. I mean, to be able for that to actually happen, for you to take the time off, you know, that's years of time away from the profession, come back to a profession that sees that break. And yeah. I think the profession is shifting. I think at a certain, not too long ago, they would see that break and say, well, next. You know, now they see that break and say, well, what was that break? You know, and that if they're raising their kids, I think a lot of architects now and firms are starting to recognize that that's the way life works now, you know, that those breaks are happening and that, you know, that the integration of firms and families are a requirement.
Yeah, absolutely. When they were looking for somebody, they were specifically looking for a mom because they were looking or a parent, somebody who wanted to work part-time, who was maybe a bit more, had a little bit of experience, but, had the flexibility to work with their schedule as well. I work with a mom and dad too. You know, it's like, it's just a husband and wife firm, but they have the same responsibilities that I have. The mom that I work with, she drops off the kids and goes to work and then leaves to pick up the kids. We have a similar schedule. So, we kind of integrate, beyond just our personal schedule at home and work, but we also integrate together, employee-employer schedule. And it works really nicely together.
Yeah. But I think we have to be careful not to sell ourselves short because we're moms. You know, people might think they're getting a great bargain because they have all this leverage. I'm offering you flexibility, so then I can pay you a whole lot less, or I can give you less interesting work. So I think we need to stand up for ourselves and understand that we bring a lot of value to the table. The days of the male architect bringing home this big paycheck and supporting a wife at home are over. The men that I work with, their wives have careers where they're making as much money or more money than they are. Their careers are as demanding or more demanding than theirs. And a lot of the flexibility that I negotiated for as a mom in my firm was actually taken advantage of in a good way by the men that came after me, because they didn't think to ask for the flexibility that I asked for. And then they said, wow, that would really work for my life too. And they stayed home and worked from home when their kids were sick, or, take a day off here or there and go home early. And it was something that was just not standard before. I'm a little, I've been in this a little longer than a lot of the women that are in our group. And I have an 18-year-old, but I also have a 3-year-old. So I feel like I've lived through like 2 generations of parenting and architecture. And when I started out, flexibility, flex time was something that people didn't offer. I had to ask for it and push for it. And I had to prove myself by working twice as hard and producing really good work and showing them that it's worth it to offer that to people. And now I look and I see the guys that have kind of come up behind me using that flex time and creating a better health and lifestyle for themselves. I saw a lot of the men that I worked with, their body's deteriorating. They're working so many hours. They're sitting all the time. Yeah, you do that for 10, 15 years and you fall apart.
Yeah, so I can attest to that.
Yeah, finding a firm where you see the principals are taking care of their bodies, exercising, having being part of the community, being healthy, prioritizing that. I think that is something that you want to look for in an employer. You want to make sure that you maintain your health and all part of that is taking care of a family and having a healthy social life.
We'll be right back to our conversation after this quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors at Entree Architect: Gusto, Arcat, and FreshBooks. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And old school payroll providers, they just don't get it. They aren't built for the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. They're different. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get things right. You no longer have to be a big company to get the great technology, those great benefits, and the great service for your team. To help support this show, the Entree Architect Podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today, and you'll get 3 months free. Once you run your first payroll, just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto, and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing today. EntreArchitect.com/gusto. For years, when I needed information on manufacturers' products, I headed straight to Google. Then I sifted through the hundreds of results to find the one or two that might be the link to the product that I'm looking for. And more often than not, the link was not what I was seeking. It was outdated or didn't meet my requirements, so I went back to the search engine and started all over again. And this could take all afternoon to find the two or three products that I need. Does this sound familiar? I know you've done this. There is a better way. It's called ARCAT. ARCAT.com, ARCAT.com. Find what you're looking for in seconds. Building product information, BIM, CAD, and custom specifications using their exclusive tool, SpecWizard. So make ARCAT part of your efficient project workflow. Just type in entrearchitect.com/ARCAT in the internet browser and add that to your favorites. Just click that little favorites button, make ARCAT your favorites, and then visit ARCAT for every project. Make it part of your workflow. Find what you need fast and make more money on every project. EntreArchitect.com/ARCAT. That's EntreArchitect.com/ARCAT. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team, by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. Getting started with FreshBooks is ridiculously easy. Most people send their first invoice just seconds after starting their free trial. And the same goes for time tracking, managing expenses, collaborating with contractors, and viewing financial reports. It's fast and easy. And if you need help at any time, free award-winning customer service is just a phone call or an email away. And if you ever have second thoughts, don't worry. On top of our free trial here for Entree Architect listeners, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee so you don't ever have to worry about choosing FreshBooks. So give FreshBooks a try. Try it free for 30 days. Just visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks and then let them know that we sent you by sharing Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to access your free, unlimited 30-day trial. Gusto, ARCAT, and FreshBooks. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. I think, and I see it happening, I see the profession shifting. The larger firms are shifting much slower. You know, they're still sort of old school, but the smaller firms, the new firms, they're being built around this idea of flexibility and remote virtual staff. And, you know, it's we're seeing a profession in transition, reacting to the realities of moms working and, you know, our lifestyles shifting. The younger generation coming up demanding it and expecting it, that it's, you know, what do you mean? I don't have the opportunity to, you know, have this flexible time and the flexible hours. As long as I get the work done, what does it matter? And I think the firms are starting to shift to take advantage of that. And I think the ones that do will thrive, and the ones who don't are going to go away. And I think that's going to happen with the larger firms too. I think they're going to start seeing their best people walking away to the larger firms that are evolving and shifting to accommodate the new way of lifestyle that we're all living. So what are some things that those firms that are looking to attract mothers could do to make their firms more attractive to the women who are looking for work, who are moms? Elsa, do you have any thoughts on that?
Just flexible hours. You know, I know at least for me, it would be very beneficial to, you know, just being given the opportunity to, you know, just be flexible with the hours, have good maternity leave, because it can be stressful figuring out, you know, how long you're going to take off, how the financial situation is going to be. Am I still going to have a job when I come back? will my responsibilities, you know, will I still have the same responsibilities as before I left on maternity when I come back? So, yeah.
After you take your exam and you get your license, what are your plans? Are you going to start your own firm or are you going to go work for somebody else?
I think I'm going to continue to work at the firm that I am working at right now. My boss is very supportive. I do love working for him. And so for now, stay there, eventually go on my own. Because I do want to have that opportunity to be able to raise kids, you know, and still remain in the profession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the firm that you're at now, are they doing anything specific that that's accommodating mothers? Or is it something that you need to negotiate still?
I did not have to negotiate anything during my pregnancy. I did talk to my boss when I told him that I was pregnant last year. If I'm healthy enough and if I have the energy to use me. So he did. He used me to the very end, literally the very end. 2 days later or 4 days later, I had my son. During that whole time, I was given projects. I was able to go meet with clients. I was job site visits, got promoted. So I didn't have to negotiate anything. So I think that's really important, you know, just working for a good boss, working for someone who's going to help you grow regardless of what stage you're in life. If you're, you know, you're on your family or if you choose to not have kids, that should not matter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think looking for a firm, just you have to find a good boss to work for or work with.
Yeah. Bianca, what's your plans as in the next three, four years? Where are you headed?
Well, I'm taking my exams and I'm about halfway done. I still have some more of the intern program to complete. And then once that's done, you know, I hope either to, you know, maybe stay where I'm at and grow that into a partnership or potentially start a business with my husband who he's a business consultant. He's not an architect, but, you know, I feel like we could work together and do something we both really enjoy and still have the flexibility and the time with the kids.
If you started a business with your husband, would you still be an architect or would you start some other business?
I think like an architect and maybe get into developing, something that we're both very interested in doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. What about you, Tara? What's your 3 to 5 year plan?
I think I told you earlier, I'm kind of a reluctant entrepreneur architect because I have worked for some amazing firms. I've loved all of the firms I've worked for and the people I've worked with. And I really miss being part of a team and showing up every day, not in my house, somewhere else where I can have work totally separate from my home. But I have a lot of projects that come to me. My husband and I have our own projects that we're building ourselves. And I just seem to be so busy with those projects that I don't feel like I can step back into my old firm or any other firm right now. So I'm just playing it by ear. I'm enjoying teaching, but I'm, you know, just teaching one class every other semester or so. And it's really a lot of fun. So I'm just playing it by ear, see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I have a lot of experience under my belt at this point. I know what I'm doing. So I'm comfortable with wherever the road takes me.
Yeah. It's a good season. I'm in that season too.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun. I was trying to enjoy having all three kids under the same roof last year because that was the last year before my son left for college. So I had the two little ones and him there. So I just tried to soak that up and we're renovating our house and expanding the brewery and doing things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. I have a 17-year-old son who's going to go to college next year as well. And so I have three. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting time right now, you know, because next year he's going to be somewhere else and, you know, and we're moving, you know, we've been in the New York metropolitan area my entire life, Anne Marie's entire life, and we're moving from New York to North Carolina this summer. And so that's a huge transition too. And so both with our families and our firm and everything is, you know, being disrupted. So
are you designing and building your house?
We tried that. Yeah. we designed three houses. We're moving to North Carolina, in, just south of Charlotte. And the entire area is being built out by big developers. And so it's very few small lots available. We found one lot, and the lot that we purchased just can't support the house that we want to build. We've designed it three times, trying to get the budget where we wanted to get it, and we can't get it. So we ended up buying. We're actually supposed to close tomorrow, and then we're going to do a major renovation to that. And I'm going to share that online so you guys can follow me doing that. But that's what we're doing. You know, we tried to design it. We're going to hold off and design the next one. And our plans is to do development down there too. And so we're going to design some other homes and design them, build them, sell them, and do it over and over again. So we're excited about that season of our life. So it's exciting. But it's a very interesting time with my oldest getting ready to head off to college. So I know those feelings. Before we wrap up here, I want to have one last question answered by each of you. And it's the same question that I ask everybody who comes on the show. We've been doing this for years. And the question is, what's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow? And it's intended to sort of be something that's pretty easily executed and see some short-term results. And it could be anything, like literally anything. Bianca, do you want to start?
Yeah, I would say support. If you have employees, support your employees and help them along their path to becoming a good architect too.
Yeah, excellent.
And you know, everybody can pass down their mentorship.
Yeah, very good. Elsa, what about you?
Mentorship, you know, just offer your employees good mentorship. I've left jobs where I wasn't given the mentorship. I wasn't guided. So if you have employees, let them ask questions, guide them, support them, be excited for them. You know, do whatever you can do to help them grow, because when they succeed, your firm succeeds.
Yeah, excellent. Tara, what about you?
I'd say to prioritize humanity every day. You know, consider yourself and people that work for you and your clients and the people that are going to use the buildings that you design. Consider their whole selves all the time, and keep that at the forefront of your design and your management of your firm, so that we can create better built environment, a better planet, and healthier employees and people that occupy our buildings.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, it's all about the people, right? All across the board. It's about the people who live in our and work in our buildings. It's about the people that we interact with as clients, the people that we work with. It's all about trying to support them and encourage them to get to the next area. That's excellent. So the Facebook group, if anybody wants to join, if you're a mom, it's facebook.com/groups/mothers in architecture. We'll have that link on the show notes as well. And so go there, request membership, and you can get in there and have some of those conversations. And I encourage you that if you are a mom, or you're planning to be a mom, or you're a grandma, or you identify as a mom, go request membership over there and get in there, because I know that the Entree Architect Facebook group that we have is by far the most powerful thing that we do. We do the podcast, we do a blog, we do newsletters, we have a membership, but the Facebook group, things are happening in there that are changing people's lives. And so I encourage you to go join this Facebook group if you're a mom, and go support one another in there. So I appreciate you, Bianca and Elsa and Tara, for coming on the show here, sharing a little bit about who you are and what you're doing and everything that you're doing over at the Facebook group. Thanks for being here and for sharing your knowledge here at the Entree Architect podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So are you a mother in architecture seeking a group of supportive professionals just like you? Do you know someone who might need to hear about this episode right now? Well, I encourage you to share this episode with a friend. It's entrearchitect.com/episode264. entrearchitect.com/episode264. Then head over to the Mothers in Architecture Facebook group, request access, and be sure to answer the follow-up questions. Right after you request membership, you're going to be sent from Facebook a couple of questions. Make sure you answer those questions. That will expedite the process and get you inside the group sooner into that group so you can have the support that you need. I'd like to thank you, Elsa and Bianca and Tara, for sharing on the show this week and for all your contributions to the architectural profession. You know, if we take on a little bit of responsibility, if each of us take on just a little bit of responsibility and lead in our own ways, like Elsa and Bianca and Tara, and if we take a little bit of ownership in this profession and dedicate ourselves to making the lives of others just a little bit better, the entire profession will grow and thrive. If you take hold of a little bit of what you have control over and make the world a little bit better for somebody else in the profession, the whole profession is going to grow and it's going to thrive. And you know what? The world will benefit from our work. So just reach out to somebody you know that maybe you can help and make their lives a little bit better. If we all do that, imagine what we can do. So go do that. And before you get back to your day, head on over to entrearchitect.com/profit tools and register for instant access to our brand new 3-part video training series. It's free. 3 short videos that may change the way you run your architecture firm and make your whole life better. It's free for you. It's waiting for you right there at entrearchitect.com/profit tools. entrearchitect.com/profit tools. Go download that video series right now and let me know what you think about it. If you like them, we'll keep building more. If you are an entrepreneur architect who runs or owns your own small firm, then you are an entree architect. And I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay. We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.